price of not being on the same page with your spouse when it comes to parenting those precious children of yours, no matter what age they are, is you're going to create rebellion, confusion, and angry kids. And I think intellectually we know it, and yet we continue to struggle at times with not getting on the same page with each other on one of the most important tasks we're ever going to have in life. And so if you're feeling a tad convicted today, I guess that's the goal, because here at Intentional Living, we love you, we care for you, and if we can get a few parents, maybe you're wrestling with this, to start thinking a little differently, to start acting a little differently, and move toward getting on the same page, or at least agreeing to disagree on how you're going to parent, but at least decide this is what we're going to do, even if we're not always in agreement, because it's the best for the kids. We've done our job today. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, along with Jennifer, Gino, and Steven, our producer here today. And our phone lines are going to be open in a moment here. And I got one question for you, and that is, what have you done to get on the same page? Are you on the same page? What decision have you made intentionally as it has to do with the spiritual upbringing or the moral upbringing or whatever it is in your family, in your home? What's one decision you've made that you realize being in agreement on this one thing has been powerful? All right, let's go. Phone lines open. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. This is the Intentional Living Center, where we love you. And we provide a seven-word mission. And that's to help you experience your parenting today. Your parenting as God intended. And that's a question. Are you experiencing that in your home? If not, we're here to help you. In Jesus' name, that's why we're here. All right, phone lines open, 888-888-1717. Let's get biblical. Deuteronomy chapter 6, way back at the beginning of the book, God's laying out the rules, the commandments, and he makes sure it gets recorded in Scripture in Deuteronomy 6, that these commandments, he says, that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It's kind of like always right there in your face. A lifestyle in your home of being in agreement about the things that matter, teaching, loving, instructing your kids. All right? This is disturbing. Before we get to our callers, by the way, 888-888-1717, half of married couples feel judged by their spouses at least sometimes. Half of married couples. Put divorce in that word. I bet you it's 90%. I don't know. I haven't seen a stat, but I bet you 90% of divorced people feel judged by their ex-spouse on parenting. That's bad news. I tell you what, we got to learn to work together. I know you may be in disagreement, but beating up on each other is not going to be helpful. If you can really get on the same page in the major issues, that's so important. All right? And then one more thing before we get to the calls. I found this to be sort of indicative of what we're seeing in our culture today. Fewer than half of parents place a lot of importance on their children sharing their religious beliefs. In fact, in a study of a U.S. parents conducted in 2022 by Pew Research, only 35 out of 100 parents said that it was of extreme importance or very important for their kids to believe what they believe. In other words, grow up and let them experience whatever they want. It just contradicts that survey with what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. What's more important to American parents, according to this survey, is their kids growing up to be honest, being hardworking, to be a child who's willing to help others, to be accepting of people different from them, to be ambitious. And by the way, those are all very important. I'm not discrediting that. But it is a shame to see that only 35 out of 100 even mentioned that as important. I wonder what would happen if we had said, you know, teaching your kids that they have to change the oil in the car every 5,000 miles, if that would have superseded even concern for their religious or, in our case, their Christian belief, knowing the Lord Jesus. Anyway, all right. All that said, let's get going here. We'd love to have you join in the discussion. What's one thing that you've come to an agreement on that's important? How do you do that in your home? Getting on the same page. Or if you have a question for me, I'd love to talk to you as well. let's do this. You get one shot at this parenting thing. You can do it intentionally. We're here to help you. 888-888-1717 is the number. Chelsea over there in Texas, appreciate your call. What one decision have you made in this parenting thing?
Well, the decision that my husband and I actually made was that we were going to put our marriage first and then our kids. We were not going to let our kids come between us. We were not going to let our kids try to ask us a question and then if mom said no and then go ask dad, you know, that we were going to stand together. And we wanted that because our marriage not only is very important to those who are watching, but to us, you know, as a couple, we wanted to know each other, whether our kids were there or not.
That's good. And how old are the kids now, Chelsea?
Our oldest is 7 and our youngest, we've got 4. Our oldest is 7, yeah. Youngest is 10 months.
One of the ways we love our kids is exactly what you're saying, Chelsea. We have a bond in the marriage that presents to the kids that we're not going to allow them or anything else to come between us.
Right.
When we set our wedding vows, we made that commitment to let nothing come between us. Our kids, our own attitudes, in-laws, family, other things. We're going to stand together. We're going to make this marriage work. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be problems and times of forgiveness and, you know, that you know that, there's
right.
challenges. But that's a great gift to give to your kids. And when couples do that, I applaud it.
We hope that it's a gift that will continue on, that they will look for the same marriage with them and their spouse. So that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah, it really is. All right. Thank you, Chelsea. Appreciate your call. We got coming up here in a little bit. What do you do when in your marriage you've got a blended family and you've got one spouse saying, as far as the estate plan is concerned, when we're gone, I want everything to go to my oldest and not to anybody else. That's not on the same page. Or what do you do when there's divorce and there's a lot of anger from a 12-year-old? We'll get to that as well. Relationship problems, getting on the same page. Listen, if I could encourage any of you today, I know it gets really difficult, been around here a long time, done this a long time. I know there are issues, but get some help to learn that our job is to raise these kids. Let's be mature adults and figure it out. All right? What have you done? What's one thing that's helped you? 888-888-1717 is the number. More calls in a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Listen, if you're not figuring out this being part of life, you're going to struggle all the years of your life with the doing part. Because if you don't know why you're here, and as a Christian, a follower of Christ, to really understand who you are in Him, then it becomes weary and difficult to do, I think. And so the lesson this month, powerful lesson, based on the book of Ephesians. It's up on our exclusive site for our members. I hope, members, you've gone there and taken a look, share it with others. Maybe someone needs a little shot in the arm of encouragement. And for those of you joining us today, we'll make sure you get the code or whatever to get to that site. Your monthly support for the Intentional Living Ministry does two things. It impacts people around the world to come to Christ and know Him and live intentionally in an upside-down culture today. And number two, it helps you because we're going to make sure you get the kind of help and encouragement for you and your family and those that you love. We'll get it to you. So come and join us. You decide what that monthly gift is. Typically, it's about $1 a day, $30 a month. But again, we don't set any amount. We just want you to be a part of the team. If you can do more, that's great. But come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, as we talk about living intentionally today as a parent.
Hi, I'm 27 years old, and I married a man who has two kids, and one of them now is a 13-year-old boy. We struggled with him at first. He's very introverted and lives through his phone and video games, and I had a really hard time, especially being a stepmom to him. And what we've done is we put expectations there for him. That helped me to step back and to ask him to do more, as well as we have a small family farm. And we've really pushed him in an encouraging way that he's capable and reminding him that he's capable and you need his help around the house, whether it's unloading the dishwasher or helping us bale hay. And my husband has had to focus more on him. They started off kind of rough at the beginning of his life, but us being united and wanting the same thing for him. And I do have to say, throughout all of this, in the last just couple years, I have seen this kid change dramatically with the way that he talks to us. When I give him a list of things he needs to do, he seems so much more ambitious to just go out and get them done rather than dragging his feet and complaining about it. And it's matured him and bettered our relationship actually with him.
Right. Hey, listen, you're doing the job, Lydia. That's intentional parenting right there. God bless you. Thank you. Natalie is in Arizona. Hi there, Natalie. How are you today?
Hello, Dr. Randy. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How do you weigh in on this parenting question of getting on the same page?
Well, like I was telling Steve, who answered the phone, I am actually representing single parents because I have a 16-year-old at home, and my husband passed away January of 2022, and I have been going toe-to-toe with this kid because, you know, it's normal for parents at 16, at teenage, 16 years old, and parents to just not be on the same page, right? Mm. So I'm a bus driver, and God showed me, Holy Spirit spoke to me one day. I was having a rough day with the people on the bus, but yet I can still smile and keep going and remember I'm a Christian with them and walk in love. And God said, you need to walk in love with your kid too. And so I need to be on the same page as him as well, at whatever we got to do. So when just recently, what I did to turn things around instead of going at it in an argumentative way was I said, I love you. I support you in whatever you choose to do, and I'm so proud of you. Mm. I'm glad you're not doing things and you're not doing bad. You're doing really good things, and you're not getting into trouble, not having babies before you should, not in gang, not in streets, not selling drugs. You're making great choices, son, and you are growing up, and I love that. You are trying to be a man and stand on your own two feet, and I apologize for making things difficult for you to do that. And I told him, you know, if there's anything I can do to help him accomplish his goals, then I'm there for him.
Good for you.
Since then, things have been absolutely amazing. And he sent me a message on a text and said, thank you. I love you so much, Mom. And nothing will ever change that. And ever since then, we've been right back on track.
All right. So let's dissect for a moment what happened there. What did you do? I mean, what happened in that interchange between you and your son that changed the whole thing, do you think?
I honestly just believe it's a lot of prayer, really, because there was nothing that I personally, in my own power, could do. I was feeling very, I felt like my hands were tied. You know, he's my number five kid, and I've been there before, but I was always able to turn it around. And this one has he's a very stubborn personality. And it wasn't working the way it was with the rest of them. So I really can't accredit it to anything other than God, honestly.
Well, clearly it was a God thing as far as your heart changing for your son. But there's a practical level here, too. You became a real person to your son. You didn't just become that parent authoritative authority of figure, but you became a real person just saying, hey, I'm sorry, I've been hard on you, and I want the best for you, and I care for you. And then you didn't put the but in there, but, and then you give a whole list of buts that you want to have him do. You just simply said, I love you, I'm here. You know, you're still going to be a parent. You're still going to hold him accountable. You're still going to be an authority in the home. But when kids see that you truly love them and care for them and want the best for them, that makes a huge difference. We're talking about getting on the same page. Now, in this case, we've got Natalie doing this alone as a single mom, and God bless you. But if you're in the home together with your spouse or with the other parent and you're not on the same page and one is encouraging and one is discouraging, one is critical and one offsets by being permissive, and that's what often happens. I've seen this over the many years that I've been doing work with families. You got one that's permissive and you got one that's too an authority figure to the extreme, authoritarian. And instead of being in that middle ground of working together, and the parent and the kids start to play the parents off of each other. And you know what that feels like, and it creates a problem. But Natalie just gave you a lot of wisdom there. Just be honest. If you got a 16-year-old that's giving you fits, saying, I want to be out of here, I'm looking forward to leaving, and I hate you guys and all that, you know, instead of getting back in their face, just to say, I'm sorry you feel that way. I really am, because we love you and we care for you. And son, you got like 24 more months. You're going to be 18, or daughter, and you can make all the decisions and at that point in your life. But the decisions you make the next 24 months are going to make a big impact on your life. Frankly, more than on our life. We're already old, right? This is your life, and we want the best for you, and we're proud of you, and we want to support you. In other words, you're keeping the responsibility in their court and saying, hey, you're going to be responsible for the decisions you make. You mess up, you're going to pay for it. That's why it's important, parents with young kids, that we hold them accountable lovingly with what we call that kind of reality. My friend Dr. Kevin Lehman has written a lot of powerful books on this, including Making Children Mine Without Losing Yours, where he talks about reality discipline, holding your kids accountable. That's powerful. All right. Thank you, Natalie. Come and join us. What's one thing you've done, a decision you've made to get on the same page as parents in your home? 888-888-1717. All right. Avery is in Arizona. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. Go right ahead. What have you learned?
So it's interesting because we've been married 29 years and we have one child, and I was thinking about when I was on hold that it actually started before we were married, because my husband asked me to marry him and I said no because I thought that we were unequally yoked. And I didn't really feel like he had a strong enough Christian life and wasn't really understanding, you know, exactly where he was and circumstances and whatnot. He dedicated his life to the Lord. And after that, you know, I grew up in a household where my dad was married four times, my mom was married four times, so I saw a lot of divorce. Mm. So with our child and just our marriage, one, we put our marriage first, saying that divorce is never on the table. It's never on the table. It's not talked about. We try to edify each other. And with doing that, we can break that basically legacy of divorce. Sure. We're going on 30 years, and show our son what a committed, godly relationship looks like and how to find his own committed, godly relationship, which I think is just a foundation before you even start having kids. Make sure the one that you pick stands with you with God.
Yeah, that's right. You know, today, Avery, and unfortunate, but in marriage today, we have a front door. People walk into marriage, but they have a giant sliding door in the back where it's not working. They just kind of walk out. But if we walk into marriage saying, hey, we're committed to each other, we're going to make this work. When things get tough, we're going to work on it. That's what we said in good days and bad days, sickness and health.
That's right.
And catching stuff early makes a big difference.
That is definitely one of the core values of our marriage, because I look at my husband all the time. I've gone through a lot of health issues, and I look at him and I think about our vows. Our marriage is not just a vow, it's a covenant with God,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
And so he has been there for me in sickness and in health and in, you know, in all those things that we promised to each other. There has never been a time, and we've done it with God always has. I mean, we've lost children. We've, you know, and to get through those things and to have the secular world tell you, you're going to be divorced after this. You know, we were like, absolutely not. Our God is bigger than that. And then he blessed us with a child, another child. So, yes, there's always hard times in marriage, but you have to actually be praising God in those hard times, because that's when he comes along. He's always alongside of us, of course, but to make you stronger and know that there's nothing that he can't handle. Do not lean on your own understanding ever. You know, it will get you in trouble.
That's
and
right.
That way you can show your kids what a marriage where you're just seeking God's will all the time and how that works out.
That's right. A lot of wisdom there, Avery. And let me just add, for those of you listening, maybe this is a second marriage you're in today. It applies to you too. Don't allow the guilt, the hurt, the pain, the regrets, all the stuff from the past to filter into the veins of your marriage today, because it'll pollute that relationship. It's okay to say before God, hey, listen, what's behind is behind. Even Paul said that, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal. And so if this is a second marriage, what Avery just shared with you matters. Be able to stand up and say, hey, this marriage matters. Yeah, we got tough things going on. Yeah, I know there's issues that need to be confronted. Let's be mature enough. Let's grow up. We're parents. We don't want to go through another divorce. And let's get some help and work that out. And sometimes that's tough. It's difficult. It's going to be tears and frustration. It's going to seem a lot easier to squeeze out of that relationship and go do something else. But we are commanded and encouraged, because marriage is such a beautiful picture of God's intentional love for us, to work on it. Yeah. And some of you are saying, I'm working on it, but he's not working on it. Hey, listen, continue to work on yourself. Continue to trust God. Get help for yourself. I tell people all the time, make sure you're getting help for yourself. You're not the Holy Spirit, and you and I can't change our spouse, even though we sometimes would like to, right? Doesn't work that way. We'll be right back. The reason our kids reject many times who we are is because they don't see us being renewed in our minds and our emotions and being tender-hearted and filled with the Spirit of God. All they see is a bunch of rules and regulations and things that we're supposed to be doing. And as we do those things, and we say we're doing the right thing, that's what the Scripture says. We're supposed to submit. I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to obey. And I'm doing these things until we get tweaked. Then we get tweaked, and we don't want to do it anymore. Right? It's fine as long as nobody tweaks me. But you tweak me, and I don't have my spirit, my mind straight, or my emotions straight, or tender-hearted, or filled with the Spirit, then I'm justified to lash out. Boy, that's so true. A clip from the lesson this month, a life changer, really, on this topic of understanding the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians about who we are in Christ. We've been saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. If you are a child of God, you got the Holy Spirit in your life, and there's a power there that's unmatched anywhere else. And now, how do we live it? That's why Paul says in Philippians, or in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, as a result of all these first three chapters, I'm going to tell you how we're to live our lives in parenting and marriage and business and so on. And so the lesson is there for you. It's up on the site from our ministry for all the members. You say, well, I'm a member. I'm giving every month, but I don't know how to get there. Get in contact with us, because we sent out an email some time ago with a little link code and so on. We'll make sure you get that. If you're not a member, come and join us. Your support is making a difference in someone's life today. Just call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. All right. Let me see. Ann, how are you today?
It's so nice to talk to you. I've talked to you before many years ago.
Well,
I keep on listening and learning. Thank
good.
You, Randy.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes. Go right ahead.
My husband and I have been married 35 years. We have 6 grown children, and our youngest is now 33. He has high-functioning autism, and I'm having a problem of letting him go to another state for a job.
Mm-hmm. How old
and
is
my
he?
My husband, on the other end, is saying he has to spread his wings.
Yeah.
He spread his wings in college, and he did very well.
Good.
But I don't know what to do. I've got the problem.
Well, you're halfway around the bases, and because you're admitting you got the problem. Now, I don't know the case of your son, but if it were me, I would encourage you and your husband to sit down with the, quote, professionals and make sure you're comfortable and you understand his limit. You understand it. You got to get that understanding. Then I'd look at my son, and I would say, here's what I'd be thinking. I've been around a long time. He's going to be around a lot longer. And I'm going to hold him back and do him an injustice if any way I keep him down from exploring and experiencing all that God has for him in his life because of my problem. And I know there's a loss there. I think you said it was a baby of 6, and there's a loss associated with that, and I get all that. But I would go work on those things yourself, get a good grief counseling, because that's what it is. It's loss and grief. And then I would encourage your son as much as you can. Stand with him and supporting him as he makes this next step. Part of it, Ann, would be my guess, we've invested our whole life, especially those parents with special needs children. You've given your life to this child. You've turned down and turned away from other personal things that you wanted to do to improve or better your life or experiences in your life. And in turn, you gave your life to that child. And as a result, that's a positive thing. The downside can be is that's my purpose in life. And when my purpose is no longer there and I'm an older adult, I'm wondering what's next? And that's really what the question I would ask for you, Anne. What's next in your life? The time you have that God could use you to do some other things. All right. Thank you. Glad you're listening for all these years, Ann. God bless you. Hey, we're going to stay here in the studio. What do you think? What have you learned? What's one thing you've done to get on the same page? Or do you have a parenting question? We're going to record another show right now as soon as we wrap it up here in 30 seconds, and it'll air next Monday. So call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Have a great day. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.